listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, love the debate today on McCown Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Let's go to Bill in Florida. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for my call.
You got it, man.
Yeah,
you got
agree with Josh as being a bridge quarterback, and I also see us trading away one of our first-rounders this year for a first-rounder next year and other picks.
What would we be acquiring?
More picks for next year, because I think next year they think they'll be a better quarterback in the draft and go for that. This year, give Johnny a try. That way no one can say Johnny didn't get his fair try in the Browns organization. I think he will this season. And if he does, great. Then we go ahead and go after more assets next season. But this year with McCown, I think we've got our bridge quarterback. If not, we still have him for next season to train the new guy for the following season. I think that's when we do go after that quarterback and make that move to go to the number 1-2 pick.
Appreciate the call, Bill. Thank you. Let's go to Tyler in Tiffin. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Nathan, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
You know, I didn't think Brian was the answer to begin with, but that wasn't the point, and I really don't think it mattered who the quarterback was for the Browns. It just mattered what the regime promised, and that was consistency. When you give up on a quarterback, it doesn't matter whether he's losing, throwing interceptions or not. I would have rather lost the last games with one quarterback than try and switch around like they did. I think the team needs consistency, and we're not going to win without it. And that's what I'd really like to see the regime start practicing.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I think you're right, but it's got to be in the sense of, like, when you know what's going on. I'm going to go – let's go back to 2004. Eli Manning was drafted by the New York Giants. Well, he was drafted, I guess, by San Diego.
I was there for that.
And ended up with the New York Giants, the first overall pick in the draft. They had Kurt Warner that year, who was certainly at that point a significantly more accomplished quarterback than, you know, Brian Hoyer ever was, and
correct.
Kurt Warner will be always go down that way.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. So Brian Hoyer, Kurt Warner was starting. They were kind of treading water with the Giants. They made a switch to Eli Manning in the middle of that season, week 11. Eli Manning came out, threw for 162 with a touchdown, two picks. The next week, 6 of 21 for 148, no touchdowns, two picks. 113, no touchdowns. 4 of 18 for 27 yards of two picks against Baltimore in week 14. Finally had a good game against Pittsburgh, 182, 2-1. Cincinnati, 201, 0-1. And then finished season 18 of 27 for 144 yards. I mean, the most he threw for was 201, three touchdowns, one interception there. So it took a while for even Eli Manning, who's now a multiple-time Super Bowl champion, in his first four full starts in the NFL, he didn't throw for more than 162 yards and had one touchdown and six interceptions. He was dreadful, and I remember that. But it was about getting him development. You're constantly looking for who is the guy. And I know you would say at that point the Browns were still in the playoff race. Why would you do it then? Well, Brian Hoyer wasn't even showing you the stewardship at that point in those games against Buffalo and Indianapolis. The offense was dreadful, especially in the second half of both of those games. And now you had a situation where you wanted to get a look at Johnny, and they thought there were football reasons to do it. You've got to get those guys, your young guy. It's about finding the answer. And that's what you tried to do with Johnny Manziel. Drew in Westerville, first-time caller. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you, Nathan. And, you know, I agree with you guys, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, who says anymore that defense wins championships? You never hear that anymore. The game has changed. It's pitch and catch now. You know, it's
you're
a
right.
good offensive line, and it's an elite quarterback. Look at the last, six or eight teams that were in the playoffs. They all, all but one probably had an elite quarterback, and the other one was very good. I mean, the NFL has changed it, and it's kind of disappointing they have changed it because, you know, when the season starts, it's like not having a great starting rotation. You know you're not going to compete, and that's how it is now. With 20 teams, you know, there's no more a guy like Trent Dilfer is going to win a Super Bowl, and
no.
That's why I agree with you guys. You couldn't give Brian Hoyer all that money when you know he's not an elite quarterback. I mean, I love the guy. I love that he's from Cleveland. I love
right.
the story.
Absolutely.
But, you know, what are you going to do? Give him $8 million for how many years, and you're still not going to have it, and you're not going to win a championship.
You gotta
find a guy.
You gotta be, in my opinion, to win a Super Bowl. you probably got to consistently be top 10 in the NFL at the quarterback position, maybe top 12. But to even have a shot, you got to be top 16. Like, I don't think Joe Flacco is maybe a top 10 quarterback in the league, but he had arguably the best Super Bowl run ever and put it together.
And a great defense.
And he had a solid defense. But, I mean, he'd really put it together. I mean, sure. I think he threw like 13 touchdowns.
But, I mean, he could be 12 or 15 overall, and a good defense gets him to 6, 7, or 8, which is why he made the run.
Absolutely. No question. But if you don't have that, you're looking for that constantly. And I'll tell you what, Cincinnati, a guy like Andy Dalton, and to me, when you really break down their games, Andy Dalton, Brian Hoyer was at this point in his career probably a poor man's Andy Dalton.
Sure.
And Andy Dalton's going to be good enough to get you there, but he hasn't won a playoff game.
Right.
And you're not, and when you then throw $100 million at him, you're basically retarding your progress. You got to find the guy that's the guy, and it's not that easy to do. Not at all.
And in some cases,
it is not easy to do. That's why teams are struggling with it, why the Browns have been struggling with it, unfortunately, for 20 years.
And you look at, and even look at the New England Patriots to take Garoppolo when they did. And I have a feeling that somehow, some way, that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are come out smelling really rosy by passing the baton from Tom Brady to have a guy that had been sitting for 3 years to Garoppolo, who's going to come in and maintain where that organization is, and that's the top of the AFC East.
That's what you certainly would love to be able to have. You'd love to be Indianapolis and just go, oh, from Peyton Manning right to Andrew Luck. I mean,
that definitely doesn't suck.
Give me a break. Listen, you look at the AFC, the Super Bowl has been, it's been represented by Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, or Ben Roethlisberger. I think it's like 10 out of the last 12 years. You had Joe Flacco in there the 1 year, or 10 out of the last 11, what it is. And you had Joe Flacco in there 1 year.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yes.
That's it. So we look at this, it is all about elite quarterbacks. And I think the caller makes a very, very good point there. It is not at all about, you know, getting a Trent Dilfer. The Trent Dilfer's, that's just not happening in today's NFL. The rules have changed too much. There's too much of an emphasis on the quarterback and what he is able to do. And if, you know, Russell Wilson may or may not be there. I don't know if he is. Seattle's had a kind of a generational defense, you know, once-in-a-generation defense. They've been that good.
And Marshawn. You know, and they've got Marshawn.
And if you put Russell Wilson on the Jets, how good are the Jets?
Right.
You know, it could, this Super Bowl should have been, quite frankly, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. It should have been. And that would have been basically two of the best to play the game, period. Two of the best maybe of all time to play the game, going head-to-head there in the Super Bowl. We're going to hear a little bit from Josh McCown now. Josh McCown spoke, doing his media rounds. He spoke with the media, and he was on Mike and Mike, SiriusXM NFL, talking. He's talking on a conference call right now to our media, and we'll have that for you tomorrow. But on SiriusXM NFL, he's asked what he did on his visit to Cleveland.
Spending time with the guys in Cleveland and you know, really seeing where they were at. Spending time with Coach Patton and John DeFlippo and Kevin O'Connell, and just feeling like Patton and Ray Farmer just getting a feel of, you know, the direction that they're trying to head as a team and as an organization. It seemed clear to me. Understand what they want to do offensively and.
It's a great, absolutely great point. And I think that, you know, he didn't go into too much detail, but I think as we've heard on Mike and Mike, you know, he talked about the head coach after his rookie year on being, you know, why he was the deciding factor and why he wanted to come to Cleveland.
Mike Patton was probably maybe the deciding factor, I would say, because just sitting with him, getting to catch his vision of you know, where he wants to take this organization and this football team, and then you know, pair that with the other meetings, Ray Farmer and John DeFlippo, the offensive coordinator, and Kevin O'Connell, quarterback coach. And I just walked away with a good comfort.
Now, Mike Patton, obviously, Ian Rappaport reporting, he had a big role in this, so that was good. Familiarity with DeFilippo as well. But I think the real question is now, does he expect to start? Can he help out in the quarterback room? Let's get those answers. First, Mike and Mike, he was asked, do you expect to start a quarterback for the Browns?
That's my expectation right now, absolutely. I mean, you know, we'll see as things unfold what their plan is, but that's my expectation, and obviously I'm going to compete as such to do that and help, you know, not only myself but anybody in that quarterback room be ready to roll and play good football so that we can help our team win football games.
And that's really what it boils down to. You have to have a guy who's both confident in himself, in his role, but what it boils down to is winning football games. That's why the Cleveland Browns went out and sought out Josh McCown and brought him here for that visit. And also, too, the Cleveland Browns and the direction they were going with Mike Patton and Ray Farmer, John DeFilippo, so much so that he chose us over another organization that most people might say is actually a little bit ahead of the curve, more so than the Cleveland Browns. Now we're going to go to Let's hear from him on what he can do to help out the quarterback room.
Just life in general. It's too short to go through it alone or just looking out for yourself all the time. And so if you can give of yourself to others to help somebody else in their journey, I just think you'll find so much more peace in life. And so that's my approach when I head into a quarterback room and is just, you know, what can I give back to the guys around me to help us be better? And because ultimately, you know, it's going to help our team.
And that's what he wants. Again, that's what we talked about. One of the differences here. You can make the arguments about on the field, off the field. This is someone excited to work with guys like Johnny Manziel. Connor Shaw talked about that on Sirius XM.
I'm excited. Both he and Connor Shaw that are going to be there in that room. And I'm thrilled about it. You know, Johnny's from Texas. I'm from Texas. My older brother played quarterback at Texas A&M. So there's some common ground there.
And what does he think about Johnny Manziel?
Johnny is, you know, he's a person, and every person that I come across has value to me, and they matter, and so I want to help him as much as I can to you know, with all parts of it, you know, but to grow as a person and you know, as a player, and to help him, you know, go on and have a fruitful career.
And in some cases, you could kind of tell they didn't know what to say about Johnny Manziel, so we kind of treated it with, you know, with kid
gloves.
He's
a person.
He's a person. He has two legs.
Good place to start.
And he walks upright. He is a person.
Wrong.
But you know what? For someone, and, you know, if you recall Josh Gordon's letter that he wrote to many people that had never met Josh Gordon, but yet we were commenting about him, you have to look, you know, he took the high road and talked very positively about Johnny Manziel as a person that he's probably never met before. So it's just good, and I think ultimately knowing that he's, again, Josh McCown was brought here to be a good player, a better teammate, and a better mentor to whoever's going to be in that quarterback room, and his comments were appropriate for the situation because it is very touchy right now with Johnny Manziel.
No question. Thank you, everybody, for all the calls today and the tweets. It was a very active day here on the Monday after the Browns signed 35-year-old veteran Josh McCown. Again, if you're just joining us, you can go back, you can listen. Jim Donovan was on the show earlier today, but it's really simple. You can debate what you want on the field, but the belief is that Josh McCown is a guy who can come in. He's being paid to be kind of a bridge quarterback backup. Not being overpaid, it's basically amounts to a 1 year over $6 million guaranteed deal. We'll have off his new offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo. Flip will be on with us tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. But the Browns want to get somebody that they thought could help them on the field and be that quarterback, but also help out in the locker room as well. All right, stay tuned for the Golden Boys. They're up next. Matt Wilhelm, Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs saying thanks for tuning in to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.